dat ik jullie gehoord heb. Ik ben daar vandaan. Naar de captatie. Ja, ik ben gewoon als onze bakker in de DJ. Vandaar de body bij schoon in de DJ. Samen met de bakker in de DJ. Ik ook ben in de DJ. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Vedic Granth Sri Supar Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Hare
Hare Hare
Hare
Hare Hare
Translation was previously explained as Chandavega, powerful time, is covered by days and nights, same Gandharvas. And Gandharvas, the body's lifespan is gradually reduced by the passage of days and nights, which number 360. Wherefore, the word Parikrama means by traveling, the living entity travels on its chariot day and night during a year, consisting of 360 or more days and nights. Life's progress is taken for the unnecessary labor required to cover these 360 days and nights of life. What was described as Kalakanya should be understood as old age. No one wants to accept old age, but Yavaneshwa, who is deaf, accepted Jara as his sister. For a part, in case within the body of the living entity, living beings accept Kalakanya old age just for death. Yavaneshwar is the emblem of death, Yamaraj. Before going to the place of Yamaraj, the living entity accepts Jara old age. The sister of Yamaraj, one is subject to the inflows of Yamaraj. His sister, due to impious activities. Those who are in Krishna consciousness are engaged in devotional service under the instruction of Narada Muni are not subjected to the influence of Yamaraj and his sister Jara. The one is Krishna consciousness conquers death. After living the material body, is not except another body that is material but returns home back to God, and this is verified in Bhagavad Gita. The followers of Yavanaraj are called the soldiers of death, and they are known as various types of disturbances that pertain to the body and mind. Prajvara represents the two types of fever, extreme heat and extreme cold, typhoid and pneumonia. The living entity lying down within the body is disturbed by many tribulations pertaining to providence, to other living entities, and to his own body and mind. Despite all kinds of tribulations, the living entity is subjected to the necessities of the body, mind, and senses, and suffering from various types of disease, is carried away by many plans due to his lust to enjoy the world. Although transcendental to this material existence, the living entity of ignorance accepts all these material miseries under the pretext of false egoism, I and mine. In this way, he lives for 100 years within the body. Purport in the Veda is stated as Sangoyam Purusha, the living entity is actually separate from material existence, for the soul is not material. In Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that the living entity is a superior energy and the material elements. Earth, water, fire, air, and so on are the inferior energy. The material elements are also described as Vinna, or separated energy. When the interior superior energy comes in contact with the external energy, it is subjected to so many tribulations. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Matrasvartha Kukontaya Sitosha Supadipadam. Because of the material body, the living entity is subjected to many tribulations brought about by air, water, fire, extreme heat, extreme cold, sunshine, excessive eating, unhealthy food, maladjustments of the three elements of the body, and so on. The intestines and throat and the brain and other parts of the body are affected by all kinds of disease. They're so powerful that they become sources of extreme suffering to the living entity. The living entity, however, is different from all these material elements. The two types of fever described in this verse can be explained in contemporary language as pneumonia and typhoid. When there is extreme fever in the body, there is typhoid pneumonia, and they are described as prajvara. And there are also other miseries created by other living entities, the state exacts taxes, and there are many thieves, rogues, and cheaters. Miseries brought about by other living entities are called adivaltika. There are also miseries in the form of famine, pestilence, scarcity, war, earthquakes, and so on. These are caused by the demigods or other sources beyond our control. Actually, there are many enemies of the living entity, and these are all described to find out how miserable this material existence is. Knowing the basic misery of material existence, one should begin to get out of the material clutches and return home back to Godhead. Actually, the living entity is not at all happy in this material body. Because of the body, it suffers, thirsts, and hungers, and influenced by the mind, by words, by anger, by the belly, by the genitals, by the rectum, and so on. Manifold miseries encircle the living, transcendental living entity simply because he desires to satisfy his senses in this material world. If he simply withdraws from activities of sense gratification and applies his senses in the service of the Lord, all the problems of material existence will immediately diminish, and with the advancement of Krishna consciousness, he'll be free from all tribulation. And after giving up the body, we'll turn home back to Godhead. Translation was previously explained that Chanda Vega powerful time is covered by days and nights named Gandharvas and Gandharvis. The body by strength gradually reduced by the passage of days and nights, which number 360. what was described as kala kanya should be understood as old age. No one wants to accept old age, but Yavaneshwara, who is death, accepts Kara as a sister. The followers of Yavaneshwara are called the soldiers of death, and they're known as the various types of disturbances that pertain to the body and mind. Prajwara represents the two kinds of fever, extreme heat and extreme cold, typhoid and pneumonia. Living and lying down within the body is disturbed by many tribulations pertaining to providence, to other living entities, to his own body and mind. By all kinds of tribulations, the living entity is subjected to the necessities of the body, mind, and senses of suffering from various types of disease, is carried away by many plans to do his lust to enjoy the world. Although transcendental to this material existence, the living entity out of ignorance accepts all these material miseries under the pretext of false egoism, and this way he lives for 100 years within the body. So the symbolism was pointed out of the various things, and in the story, Pranjana city was attacked by Chandavega, and eventually, of course, the city was destroyed. So, in other words, the living entity eventually has to die, and accompanying the death is old age, which means that gradually the senses begin to lose their power and their functioning ability. So that is very miserable. Death is miserable because one has to give up the body, and old age is miserable because these senses don't work properly. So one cannot maintain life in a very nice way. So these are represented as fearful elements for the living entity within the body. And all of this is under the control of time. Time keeps progressing all the time. Days and nights keep passing, and eventually one comes to death. So, of course, one is born, one grows and matures, and one gets old and dies. These are symptoms of time. So as long as one has a material body in the material world, time is going to exert its influence. So that means that no matter how much one endeavors in the material body, pain and discomfort are unavoidable for all living entities, whether it's plant or animal or human being, David or whatever. It all becomes a place of discomfort for the living entity. And that is represented by the fact that these things are attacking the city of Paranjana, continually afflicting it. So he has to fight back somehow, protect himself from these things. But he loses. He cannot fight forever. So the soldiers and Gandharvas and Gandharvis attack his city. That means time is always working on the living entity, and eventually the living entity gets destroyed. Old age appears, and the senses disintegrate, and death comes, and finally the whole body is useless. So this is the position of all the living entities in the material world. None of them can escape this influence. Therefore, no matter how much the living entity tries to be happy in the material world, inevitably these things must happen. So the happiness of the jiva in the material world is always contaminated by old age and death. These two things are unwanted, but they necessarily come from all of the entities. So this is a constant problem in the material world. In spite of that, the living entity continues to try to live in the material body. And over again, the living entity is born, and over again, he experiences old age and death. Still, he continues to make this endeavor in the material world. So why is that? One, of course, is because he still wants to try to get enjoyment. Just as Paranjana was enjoying very nicely in the city in his body for some time. So jiva wants that. But, of course, then we have the counter elements, that is old age and death. So why doesn't the jiva understand this? It's not very compatible. So, unfortunately, he was in ignorance. And he always feels that I will not get old and I will not die. This is the illusion that the jivas have in the material world. Even though they see that this happens all the time, people are getting old and people are dying, somehow they don't concern themselves with this. And they simply try to become happy in the material world. And which is this what we call ignorance and forgetfulness. So this reflects all, in this type of attitude, infects all the jivas. So they continue to strive in the material world without that worry behind them. Nevertheless, it's there all the time. And so that is why scripture is there to keep reminding us that in spite of all the endeavors for happiness, it becomes useless. Because the whole body gets destroyed ultimately. So what is the use of all that endeavor? You cannot fight against it. Still, the jiva does it anyway, birth after birth after birth in the material world. So that is the foolishness of the jiva. Why doesn't he learn? Because of that ignorance. It is like the criminal who goes to jail and gets out and goes back to jail and comes out and goes back to jail again. So this is the position of the jivas in the material world. So we would expect sooner or later the jiva would realize this is not a very good position. So yes, after a long time, and when there is sufficient awareness, the jiva gets this realization. But it takes a long, long, long time. And usually, on their own, the jivas had a very difficult time understanding the situation. So that is why we have the assistance of scripture. Of course, some people on their own, without that, due to previous experiences, will come to such a conclusion, but it may not be very clear. So we have various philosophies around the world which attempt to answer this question, why do we live at all? Why do we have birth and death and old age and disease and whatever? What is the purpose of life if we have to give it up? So we've got so many philosophies to try to solve these problems. People will think a lot and come to different conclusions. Some of the conclusions are right, some of them are wrong. And if the person is very intelligent, yes, he will come to some quite correct conclusions, but it still won't be perfect knowledge. Some of the things will be right, some may still be incorrect or unclear. So, to counter that, we have scripture, which will give us definite conclusions about all of this. Then we get a very clear idea of everything. And we don't have to keep thinking and thinking and thinking anymore. Of course, we can also correlate this with philosophy, those people who think logically. And we'll see that the conclusions of scripture are also quite logical. But then again, some parts are not logical, things we cannot figure out on our own. So that is why Prabhupada refers to the ascending process. By the ascending process, logically we try to figure out everything. So to a certain extent we can, but not everything. And therefore we also have the descending process, some things we cannot understand on our own, even with our logic. So therefore we have the scriptures, this is the descending process, and that without thinking, the knowledge is given to us. So this is the way in which we actually get the knowledge, through the descending process, that is through the scripture. Someone tells us that you're not the body, you're the soul, that we go from body to body, that the activities we do make us accrue karmas, and we get suffering or enjoyment according to papa punya. So all this is due to the scriptures. We can't figure that out on our own. So that is why there's a necessity of having this knowledge preserved in the material world. And this is the purpose of the avatars of the Lord. They come to protect Dharma and to preserve scripture and revive the meaning of scripture. This is the purpose of the devotees of the Lord. They also deliver the scripture. So in this way, the Lord makes some arrangement for the jivas, even though they are covered by ignorance. He gives them some hints and some clues on how to get out of this position in the material world. So, not only does the scripture describe the situation, which is something to wake us up, but it also gives us a way in which we can overcome this position. First, it presents the hopeless position, which is the position of Pranjana struggling in his material body. Then, it also gives a solution, which is presented in the next life of Pranjana when he became Vaidarbhi, and he actually was a woman in that life, and married to Malayadwaja, the king, who represents devotional service or bhakti. So therefore, he was able to partake of devotional service in that lifetime. So not only does scripture present the real nature of the material world and the jiva in the material world, but it also presents the solution. How can the jiva solve this problem? So this is the also presented in the scripture. So we get these two elements there, the position of the jiva and the way in which the jiva, the actions the jiva should do to get out of this misery in the material world. So this, of course, is a rather negative approach to describe the misery of the material world and show that you must get out of it. But this is the approach given for people in the material world who are in ignorance. So therefore we'll have descriptions of misery, just as in the fifth canto also. There's a whole section, allegorical section there, describing the miseries of the material world in terms of a traveler going out into the forest and getting his feet cut and by the stones and burning in the sun and getting bitten by the animals and attacked in different ways. So again, misery of material world is described. This is, as I said, a negative aspect of spiritual life. It describes the miseries of the material world. It's not very good, so we must want something better. But this is one approach. The other approach, of course, is to present the positive aspects. That is the position of the jiva in the spiritual world, which is actually more beneficial. So that is presented in the 10th canto with the description of Krishna's pastimes. There we get a position of service to the Lord in the spiritual realm. And there we get an appreciation and a relationship with the Lord and spiritual bliss. So the two sides of the picture must be presented, not just the negative side. If we only get the negative side, then ultimately we get rid of the negative stuff and we end up with liberation only. And of course one can give positive aspects of liberation, but even that is not very positive. It just means no pain. It's described in terms of negatives. No pain, no old age, no death, etc. So therefore we have eternity and things like that. So the more positive aspect is to emphasize the wonderful nature of the spiritual world with the forms and qualities and activities of the Supreme Lord. And so that is actually the purpose of Bhagavatam. So though the truth, both strategies are there, the Bhagavatam ultimately emphasizes the pastimes of Krishna. So that was the solution given by Narada Muni to Vyasadeva, how to deliver the people of Kali Yuga. So the way is to present the pastimes of Krishna, the positive aspect. So this is more powerful than simply giving the negative aspect. Of course, we can combine the two, and that is what Bhagavatam also does. Therefore, we have the negative aspects represented in this story and in the fifth canto also. But the main emphasis is ultimately giving the positive aspect, and that is the personality of Krishna.
Well, it's said that the soul cannot be destroyed. And the soul has that higher potency of not getting destroyed. How it is put into the lower embodiment of suffering in the
material? Due to his desire for enjoyment separate from the Lord. Therefore, he takes up a hamkara, gets a material body, and tries to enjoy with that body. But then he also has to suffer because the bodies are temporary. Well, when we say Satchidananda, that must be developed because the jiva in the material world, obviously, he is chit in the sense of conscious, but he actually has not very much knowledge in terms of distinction, ability to distinguish things properly, because otherwise he wouldn't be in the material world. So therefore, he has the capacity for good knowledge, but that doesn't mean he has all that knowledge, otherwise he wouldn't be here. So therefore he is conscious and he can observe things and get some impressions of these different things. So he's a conscious entity. He has the capacity for bliss, and therefore in the material world he gets experiences of happiness, material happiness, and because he's experiencer, he's a mukta. But at the same time, if he hadn't experienced the spiritual bliss, he wouldn't be in the material world. So he has that capacity for a spiritual experience, but it's not used properly. So he's simply an experiencer, that's all he is. He's conscious, he's an experiencer. So his potential is not fully utilized as long as he's in the material world. And if we simply remove the covering of ignorance with knowledge, not the body, then even then it's not manifested clearly. So therefore you get liberation, but your knowledge is still not perfect and your bliss isn't perfect either. We can say there's something there because the bliss of Brahman is there, but it is the prominent aspect is not Satchitananda, it's only the sat aspect which is prominent in liberation. So unless one properly cultivates, the ananda will not develop properly.
Aspect of this ananda is mainly in Bhagavata or other Puranas also.
Sir?
The aspect of going beyond the positive and negative is only in Bhagavata or other Puranas also.
Well, to some degree, like the Vishnu Purana will also describe the pastimes of Krishna or Vishnu, whatever, or Ramchandra. So to some degree they all do that. Upanishads in general simply emphasize the negative aspects of the material world and then you end up with Brahman.
But Ramchandra only shows the way to live a pious life on earth, but he never gives the way to get rid of this material.
Well, the activities of Ramchandra themselves are a source of meditation for the jivas by which they can enter into the spiritual world.
Thank you.